welcome to the first ever episode of the Mighty Oaks podcast, the first official podcast of the Oakley Cricket Club. My name is Miles and I'll be your major host of the season, and throughout the season I'll be joined by many others. And for the first ever episode, I'm joined by club vice president, chairman of selectors, life member of the club, a man who wears many hats, Trent Shields. Welcome.
Thank you, Miles. Very thrilled to be here. And as you mentioned, wearing many hats, I've brought a special one out of the collection for tonight for the special occasion. This is the junior yellow hat that was worn for a period of time about 10 years ago when we had a purple and gold junior teams.
So, special Halloween edition.
Oh, I forgot to say happy Halloween too. Happy Amazing. Halloween. Guy Fawkes night.
Yep. Don't know what that means. But also would like to welcome Matt Girolami, the club's social media manager and a 10-year OCC member. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much. Yeah, really excited to be here and really excited to see this series get off the ground.
Yeah, let's do it. So to start off, I just wanted to give you a little summary of what this is, what the idea is and what this is about. So the aim of this podcast is to build and connect the Oakley Cricket Club community and promote what a great club we are. We plan to produce an episode every two senior rounds, so the senior teams every two rounds. Today's episode will be summarising round one and two of the season. We're telling you all about what happened in those games, a brief analysis of the matches, also be covering our junior teams, our veterans team, and all the different things we have going on at the club. So this podcast is for everyone. It's targeted at anyone who has an interest in Oakley Cricket Club, juniors, seniors, family, friends, sponsors, everyone who has any kind of connection. So welcome. If you're listening on Spotify, welcome. If you're watching us on YouTube on the Oakley Cricket Club channel, welcome to you as well. We look forward to the season. This is the Mighty Oaks podcast, and we're away. So welcome, gents.
Good opportunity there, Miles, just to mention that we've got an opening for a community partner to join up with the podcast as well too, to get their name as co-headliner against the Mighty Oaks podcast.
Looking for a sponsor, so very important. All right, so before we get into the results of round one and two, I just wanted to summarise for anyone new to the Oakley Cricket Club all the different teams that we have running this season. I briefly mentioned it just then. But our main senior teams, we have four Saturday 11s, the first, seconds, thirds and fourths. We have a fifth 11 that play on Sundays. We have a new veterans team that also play on Sunday. We'll talk about them a bit later. We also have a very important and very successful junior cricket program with two under-15s, two under-11s, one under-13, and a new under-12 girls team, which is new this year, the Alanas, which we'll also touch on later in the episode. We also run the Woolworths Cricket Blast program, which formerly Milo Cricket, for kids aged 5 to 10. And over the summer break, we'll have our normal JG Craig Shield under-15 rep team. So they're all the different teams we've got. If you know anyone that's interested, who've got kids and want to join the junior program, come on down to Oakley. You can find more information in the description of the episode. And moving on. So I guess we'll start talking about the matches, eh?
Absolutely. So we'll kick it off with the ones.
First 11.
All right. So first two games, we've played Ormond away and Croydon away. So unusual start to the season with two away games. Playing against our local rivals, Ormond, down at the EE Gun. Small little ground there. Pitch was probably a little bit underprepared. Oaks had a bat first off. Started off a little bit poorly. Two wickets in the first over. And then our boom new recruit, James Pattinson, with the flowing mullet, came in and smacked the next three balls for four on the way to a brilliant debut 100.
Not a bad start to your career at Oakley.
He was ably supported by another new recruit, Dill Grandall, who we've only been trying to recruit for about 10 years.
He has been training with us for many years.
Fantastic to have him on board as well too. Both of them look resplendent in purple and gold, just like a delicious bar of Cadbury chocolate.
Halloween reference.
Well, or it's dinner time. We got minor contributions from Jacko Clark, the coach Matt Grace and Jimmy Benn towards the end, and we eked out a score of just over 200. Probably thought that would be enough if we bowled well. Unfortunately, that probably wasn't the case on the day. A couple of guys got it in the right spots. Pierso in particular bowled pretty well. Pattinson took 3 wickets, but ultimately just couldn't get the job done. Gracie also bowled fantastically well with 3. Fell just probably an over short, really. But that was something to learn from. It'll take time to gel, obviously, to losing 2 of the club legends, Brendan McGuinness and Alex Jones, to injury in the off-season, as well as some other retirements in the last couple of years of Mick Splatt, Andrew Splatt and the likes, who have been mainstays of our successful era. Real opportunity now for some other guys to sort of make their mark on the club.
Yeah, a really, really new first 11 from the last premiership we won, which was about 3 seasons ago.
Yep.
I don't know if there's a single same player, or there might be 1 or 2. So
Pearso, the skipper, actually said he started with Oakley. This is his 4th season now at Oakley. There is not one player in the first 11 the same as when he first started at the club.
Yeah.
So a massive turnaround, exactly. Too. So, look, I think that needs to be taken into consideration with expectations for how the team are going to perform immediately as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't get any closer in the first game. So Ormond ended up passing them 9 down in the last over, I think it was.
Yeah.
We should just go back over and touch on James Pattinson, former Australian Test player, debuting for the club with a runnable 100 and 3-for, and coming in on a hat-trick ball, like you said, and just hitting a couple to the fence, which is a pretty impressive debut.
I mean, we've probably faced hat-trick balls in our time, and we know it's a pretty stressful situation. Survival. And to have it on your club debut, come out and hit 3-fours for the over, is a pretty impressive feat, yeah. Even for a guy of his talent.
Very, very impressive. So unfortunately, round 1, the ones go down. And we move on to round 2, where they played Croydon at Croydon, which, I didn't think it could get much closer than round 1, but turns out
That was a blowout compared to round 2.
Yes, so round 2 was actually a tie, a 2-day game and a tie. Or is it technically a draw because we were 9 down?
No, apparently it's
no,
a tie.
No, because it was a... Yeah, because...
It is a tie.
Yeah.
Because there were still overs to go, so he was retired out or absent out. Yeah. As I'm sure the great Roland C. Williams will correct us on.
Shout out, Rolly. So Croydon batted first on day 1. They made 208, which was probably a little higher than we wanted them to get, given where they were earlier in the day.
They might have put on maybe 20 for the last wicket or thereabouts, which might not have been thought of too much on that Saturday night, but...
Mm. Yeah, speaking to Pearso, the skipper, just slightly disappointed with the fact that they got up above 200. They were hoping to chase a little bit under that. But having said that, 208, very chaseable score in the 2-day game especially. And the Oaks started really, really well. What were they...
One for 111 at tee.
Yep.
Off 44 overs. Pretty good platform, you
Very
might
good
say.
Platform. Some good batting up the top from Ryan Pearce and Sam Jones, who opened. Pearce got 30. Sam Jones top score to 64.
Fantastic to see Sammy, who's a former Oakley junior as well. Gone on
many.
To play Premier Cricket as well and come back to the club and really finding some form, which is important.
And then coming at number 4, the round 1 hero, Pattinson. Unfortunately, chocolates to board lollies makes a duck.
It's a great leveller, cricket, isn't it?
Of
it's
course.
A great leveller. You're only as good as your last innings, they say.
Yeah.
I think he's better than that, though.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Yep. I think that's fair. And a really, really good innings there from Jack Clark at number 5, who got 58 and really looked to be steering us home before he was unfortunately run out. And then a couple of late ducks led to a 9th wicket partnership that was trying to get us over the line. One of our players, John O'Keefe, shout out John, unfortunately injured his shoulder in the first week and was unable to bat.
Get better, Jock.
So we had Jeff Latham and Ben Fletcher trying to get us over the line. And unfortunately, in the last over of the day, Latho got bowled with the scores level. So we record a tie, which is probably the first tie in the first 11 since... 4 or 5 years ago out here against Williamstown? No, Werribee maybe?
Werribee.
In the final round of that season? Yeah, so unlucky. Just 0 wins from 2 games, unfortunately.
Just a quick shout out to Jack Clark. Obviously, he's come across from England and has been with us for the last season. This is his 2nd season at the club. I believe this may be his first 50 for the club. Maybe.
I think he made one against Ivanhoe
last year. Anyway, he's been really good coming across in different conditions and, you know, always being a rock in that sort of middle order for the ones, and showed it there.
Yeah, absolutely.
He actually might have made one in that game against Brunswick last year where he and BJ were pretty much the only run scorers.
That one where Sagar and
Tari.
BJ. Oh, yeah.
Tari and BJ, yeah. Batted at the end and we lost by a run and fell out of the finals.
Ooh, yeah. We won't talk about that.
No.
We'll talk about this season. But, yeah, so that's the first 11 wrap. Half a win from two games, so they'll be looking to bounce back and get a win on the board in
against
round three.
Balwyn.
Against Balwyn.
When we return back to the home of cricket.
Oh, home at Warrawee, here where we are, for those at home. So, all right, second 11. Moving on to second 11. Slightly better fortunes. Two wins from two games so far. Two really good wins, I would say, from the twos. In round one, like the ones we played Ormond. Oakley won the toss, chose to bowl first in a one-day game out here at Warrawee. I was playing in this game. The wicket had a little bit of juice in it early, and it was overcast, and there were a scattering of showers around, so the decision to bowl first was because of that. Ormond never really got going. We got wickets pretty steadily throughout the innings. They ended 9 for 130 at the end of their 45 overs. One-day games are 45 overs each side in this competition. So 130, but fair to say we had the better of the conditions. By the end of their innings, the wicket had really flattened out. The sun had come out, and batting looked significantly easier than it did at the start of the innings. Bowling-wise, shout-out Jeff Latham. He opened the bowling. I thought he bowled really well. So did Ayush, who also bowled well. I thought Jeff was probably the pick. And then
Max Getley on debut, second 11 debut.
Yeah, he was really, really good. 9 overs, 4 maidens, 1 for 19, and easily could have had a couple more wickets. Unfortunately, a few drop catches. Won't mention who they were, but
not pointing fingers.
He bowled really well. So really good bowling performance. Matty Tyson chipped in with a wicket. Matt Stamps, skipper, came on first change. Bowled very, very well, like he always does. He actually took the most wickets for the innings. Well done, Stampsy. And, so chasing 130. And then came the batting innings, which started pretty well.
This will be interesting. Will he talk about himself or...?
I think he's going to pass over to one of us.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'll throw it to you, Trent.
Perfect. All right, so we started off with a new opening combination. Ansh and Manny opened up. Neither of them sort of troubled the scorer too much, chewed up a few rocks, which was good to sort of wear off their opening attack. Then the classy Chanukah matched up with our very own host here, Miles Fabris, back at the club after a bit of a layoff. Also a class batsman, so two guys going at it.
Chanukah
made 21. Geordie and Ayush both came and went, and then Miles was joined by Turtle Thurgood, who were able to put on the last 40 or so runs to get us over the line with 6 overs to go. Miles finished just short of his 50 on 49. Very impressive. Fun fact as well too, Miles's brother Elliot, who is also a very well-known Oakley figure, made 49 on second 11 debut many years ago.
Yeah, he did, actually.
At this same ground.
That's true. I do remember that. Also, maybe worth mentioning that about halfway through that innings, I pulled a hamstring and had to bat with a runner. Thank you, Ansh. Yeah. And, so unfortunately won't feature in the round two wrap because I wasn't playing. But, Turtle batted well at the end, 17 not out. Played a glorious sweep shot, which I should not have mentioned, but it was pretty good. Sailed over my head when I was standing at square leg. It was a good wicket to bat on by that point. 5 down, plenty overs to spare, chase of 130. So really happy, good performance all team round. Excellent to get round one win.
Fantastic. On to round two. We hosted Croydon, the Cockies. We had a bat first on a wicket that looked pretty good.
Two-day game.
Conditions, yes, sorry, two-day game. Conditions should get better as the season goes on too, if the weather's kind. Manny opened up again and unfortunately couldn't get away again, out for six. Dill Grandall playing down in the twos, obviously belying his ability, but being a bigwig with Golf Australia, he was unavailable for the second day, so came in. He came and went quite quickly, and that brought together Anch and Chanukka, who proceeded to put on about 150 runs, or even more than that. So that was a
massive partnership.
Yeah, fantastic batting. I was here for quite a bit of it. Anch played beautifully. He's by far his highest score at the club. I'm pretty sure that's his first 50 at Oakley in four seasons with the club. But he's if you could talk about a guy, the amount of effort that they put into their cricket and getting some rewards, fantastic to see that with Anch, because he's always first at training, last to leave, doing extra throwdowns.
Absolutely.
So real credit to him to get a score on the board, and hopefully that flows through to the rest of the season.
Yeah, premiership player in the inaugural Fifth 11 team as well.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely. Quite a few of those guys have graduated from our fifths onto bigger and better things, so that's fantastic.
Excellent work. He finished with 84 off 149 balls with five fours and a six. Well done, Anch. And well done, Chanukka as well, who unfortunately got out in the 90s, 92, caught and polled. Apparently played a pretty good shot and took a pretty good catch to get rid of him. But yeah, 92 off 151 balls with 10 fours. So those two guys together faced 300 balls, put on a mammoth partnership and really set the tone for the rest of the day.
Really solid two-day cricket as well too. Geordie came in, hit 28, and he should probably be going on with that as well too. Class batsman, expecting big things from him. Excuse me. Then we've got Rayan, who's a 15-year-old who's graduated through our junior program, captained the under-15s last year, won the MVP in the fourth 11 as well as the batting award. Terrific batter, terrific talent, really mature the way he goes about it. Didn't get away, came in a difficult situation, but he'll be better for the run. And yeah, really proud of him getting an opportunity through just weight of numbers in the lower grades as well.
And a few runs at the end. Well done to Sagar, 17 not out off 20 balls. And Maxi Getley again, 15 off 11, including one big boy over the top at six runs. Out here in Warrawee, pretty good effort.
Bopped one into the nets too, so that was a nice hit.
Very nice. And coming back for day two, so defending 271 in the end, which is a really, really good big two-day score. Should never really lose when you put that on the board. Trent, were you here?
I was here. We started off with the skipper, Matt Stamps and Max Getley. Stampsy bowled pretty well. Max was a little bit off the high standard that he set himself the week before. Matt was able to claim a wicket early and then threw the ball to Tom Eisen, who debuted in the twos the week before.
Bowled very well.
On the back of a 30-wicket season in the threes last year. Gets his opportunity, been a mainstay with the club now. And a real strong contributor off the field as well too. So we're wrapped for him to get that opportunity. Bowled 17 overs on the hop, 9 maidens, took 3 for 22, bowled fantastically well.
Unreal figures. I didn't see this round 2 performance, but round 1 just really consistent. Yep. Just on the same spot again and again. And obviously if he's bowling 17 on the trot, he's able to do that. So well done.
Turtle came on when Matt had a break. At the Oakley school end, the tennis court end, and took 2 for 11 off 7 overs. Bowled really well. Some really sort of sustained pace that he got up as well too, which was terrific for him, and that'll give him a real confidence boost because he's a quality player as well. And then after tea, when we were in a winning position, obviously a lot can happen in cricket, but we were in a pretty solid position having them 7 down and probably looking good. Matt threw the ball to Tyso and brought Max Getley back on, who cleaned up the last 3 wickets between them. So it was if before the game he could have put together a bowling scorecard, I reckon that's pretty close to what he would have liked to have seen.
Yeah, excellent. Croydon ended up being all out 121 in 54 overs, so a really strong, comfortable win. 2 wickets to Matt Stamps, Max Getley and Nick Thurgood, 1 to Matty Tyson and 3 to Tom Eisen, as we mentioned, probably the pick of the bowlers on the day. So well done, twos, 2-0 and top of the ladder, I think, according to our ladders here in the rooms. Well, they'd be close if they're not top. On to the third 11.
Third 11, round 1 will be easy. That was a washout game.
Completely washed out.
Baldwin couldn't get their ground up, unfortunately, with a fair bit of rain around in the week leading up to it. So they made their season debut on the Saturday prior against Mount Waverley, who had actually played half a game, so they were probably a little bit ahead of us from the hit out. Mount batted first and batted pretty well. They made 7 for 239. Our bowling probably wasn't where it would want to be, and Ant Howes, who's the skipper this year, probably agreed as much there too. Tried to throw the ball around a little bit, but just probably couldn't get the consistency that he really would have liked on a wicket that wasn't offering the bowlers too much. Just a shout out to Ant as well too, just on a long list of injuries at the moment. Had his appendix out today, so yeah. hope you're listening, Ant, and on the road to recovery.
Get well soon, Ant.
From the bowling perspective there too, we're a bit lucky to have Ayush playing in round one because of unavailability on the second day. So he took a wicket. Benny Salmon took a wicket. Ant took two. Carlos Wakefield, one of our three English.
Well done, Carlos. Welcome to the club.
Took a couple of wickets. We still haven't worked out, and he might not have worked out yet whether he's an off-spin bowler or a seam-up bowler. He did come to the club as a wicketkeeper, so who knows what he'll end up as, but he's been pretty impressive with what he's done so far, also running the junior program as the coordinator.
And
fifth 11 captain. True. So 239 off 80 overs. Pretty good score. It's gettable at Scammell, which is looking a little bit worse for wear after the footy season, but I'm sure it will bounce back quickly. But it gave us a real task on day two.
And day two rolled around, which was just the Saturday just passed. Harry D and Dimesh opened up. Dimesh had a pretty good knock, ended up with 69, and put on a bit of a partnership with a couple of guys. Were you down at this game, Trent, at all?
I was there for a bit of it, yes. I got there when Dimesh was batting with Dion, and they had a really strong partnership.
Dion 32
batted really intelligently. He bats sort of above his age as well too, so really keen to see him put some runs on the board and start to put some pressure on the guys in the twos. He's been a good twos player a couple of seasons ago too, so yeah. I think that's where he should be aspiring to be. If he puts on some more performances like he did on Saturday, I don't think it'll be long before he's in the selector's eye. Unfortunately, Harry De Rosario, who's a favourite of the podcast, if we can have a favourite on our first ever episode, also blew out a hamstring. So that's a shame, and he'll miss a couple of games as well too. But yeah, probably not enough contributors, and probably a little bit too much left to feud towards the end. But there was certainly one score on the scorecard that stands out significantly there.
Mm.
The number 11 with 25 runs from just 16 rocks, which was very exciting.
Yeah,
young Sam unreal. Iverson,
Sam
channeling his older brother Jack, who made a double hundred in a school T20 game.
Wow. Number 11, 25 not out. Unfortunately, ran out of partners. Oakley end up all out for 194, falling about 45 runs short. And that is the three. So round one washed out, round two loss. So like the first 11, they'll be wanting to bounce back this weekend and get a win on the board without their captain, though, most likely, unfortunately. But I'll leave that to you, Trent, chairman of selectors, to sort out that lovely mess.
I'm not sure if this will be out before our selection comes out on Thursday anyway, so I won't be giving away any state secrets. But yes, Ant won't be playing this week.
Fair enough. Now we come to the fourth 11. Now we might throw to you, Matt, here for round one, playing Baldwin. Give us a bit of a summary of the game.
Yeah, it was good. So first off, rocked up to the ground and weren't quite sure if we were going to get on. Scammell was, let's just say, not in the greatest of conditions. Pitch was pretty wet to start off with. Fortunately, won the toss, put them into bat, and it was really good to see. We've got a pretty new lineup in the fours. We've got quite a few of the younger sort of junior players playing up with us this year.
Mm-hmm.
But mainstay from last year, Jack Allen, started us off with Joel Adjani. Weren't rewarded with wickets on the day, but both bowled pretty well on a pretty tough deck. And then big Tommy Murphy for first game for the club, coming down with Nathan Harford for this year. Wasn't quite on the money for his first little spell, but it was good. First game on turf, I hear, actually, for Tom. So
yeah, nice.
Good to get his first one away. And the wickets came with returning club legend and now captain of the Fours, Craig Johnson, took twofer.
Jono.
Yeah, it was just really good for him to come on in the middle overs and show his experience. And you could see that compared to everyone else, it was really tough to sort of bat against him. And they definitely struggled. Ended up posting 153 off their 40 overs, three down. We went out to bat, opening combination, the two Johnson boys, Craig and Arch.
Yeah, this was probably the highlight from an Oakley point of view, wasn't it?
Oh, for sure. Having both of them playing their first sub-district game together. Father and son opening the batting together was really good to see. And both managed to put on a pretty good score. Craig got us off to a good start, made 32, and Arch was there for pretty much the entire innings. Sort of was the anchor for everyone to sort of work their way around, made a really good 50.
Just a little background too on Craig, for those of you who may not know him. He's a life member of the Oakley Cricket Club. Probably hasn't played at the club for about 15 years, but was a fine player in his time. Well, he's still a fine player. He was a first 11 premiership player and good enough to win the second 11 VSDCA award for best player as well.
Yeah, returning legend of the club. So, yeah, well done to the Johnsons. Father and son opening the batting together. What would their partnership have been?
It would have been
about 80-odd?
No, it was a little bit less. It was about 60-odd, I think.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. And Arch was there for pretty much the entire sort of innings. Ended on 54 and had the rest of the boys work around him. 3 to 5, including myself, couldn't really get going. But Chaps came in at number 6. Chaps, mainstay of the club, coaching our JG Craig team for the 6th year, I want to say. I think his first year was 2017, so their 7th year.
Well into it, right? I think they've more or less chosen the team.
Yeah, pretty much.
They've got has chosen the team, yes. Yeah, he's just going to provide that to us.
Perfect.
Send that out. Maybe
29 maybe on, not out for Chaps.
Maybe on the next podcast we can go through the Craig team.
But yeah, he's 29, coming in the middle overs was really really good, sort of accelerated that scoring rate and just made sure of it. Wasn't really too much of a nervous chase at any sort of point, but yeah, it was just really good to get the first win on the board. Last year we were waiting a couple of rounds for our first win, I believe, so to get one on the board really early was good for everyone's sort of confidence.
Really strong start.
Finally got a good skipper too.
Trent, don't say such things.
He got us to finals last year.
Five down, 554, chasing 153, with about 5 overs to spare. So really good first up win from the Fours. And we move on to round 2, where they also played Mount Waverley.
Yeah, round 2. My first ever VSDCA Sunday game, playing at Pinewood Reserve on a Sunday, with their ones and twos ground out of commission. So unfortunately, first week was a washout. The ground was drenched when we rocked up, so wasn't really much of a chance we were going to get on there, so meant that we moved to a one-day game the following week. It was quite clear that the deck had about 130 overs played on it by the time we got onto it.
The day before?
Yeah, it was about a day 7 pitch. It was keeping very low, big cracks sort of appearing, so it was going to be really tough to bat on. So we bowled first, lost the toss, bowled first, opened up with Jack and Joel again. Special shout out to Joel. Let's just say he came in. He sometimes can get a bit nervous, but this day came in none for 10 off his 8 overs. Really impressive to see.
Really tight spell.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. He even had the responsibility of bowling 3 of his overs at the death, and he came on, delivered perfectly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, really good spell from him.
Well done, Joel.
Worthwhile noting too, his older brother Luke, who's just gone on to Premier Cricket this season, made his debut 100 for Kingston Hawthorn last week.
Yeah, well done, 125. Luke. Good stuff, Luke Ajani.
Great start.
We also, but the two main boys for the day, Sammy Duckett and Turin. I won't try and pronounce his surname. I'll probably butcher it. But
Karuna Ratna.
There we go.
That's why I'm the chairman of selectors,
and I'm just a fourth 11 player. So these two boys together took 7 between them. Were easily our two pick of the bowlers on the day. Sammy Duckett was great, especially bowling at the death. He got thrown the ball, probably looked a bit knackered, but bowled the final over of the day. Just ran in, gutsed it out like he was doing. Obviously played juniors in the morning, so he was probably a bit tired by the end of it. But him and Taran as well. First spell was probably a little bit all over the shop, but the second spell really honed in, got the reward that he deserved with 4 wickets for 35 off his 8, and Sammy with 3 for 26 off his 8 as well. As the day wore on, we could see the deck was probably going to crack open and be even tougher to bat on. So to bat second was always going to be a really tough challenge. Craig Johnson opened the batting again with Arch. Couldn't get away this week though. Him and both Raf, you could almost call them rollers. They were that low. Went straight under the bat and unfortunate. Bowled both of them. But yeah, Craig set us up again to really go deep with the chase, and then Taran and Chaps put out a really good sort of middle order partnership. Unfortunately, sort of just ran out of wickets towards the end. We probably left ourselves a little bit too much to do in the back half of the innings. But yeah, special shout out again to Chaps, 28 not out off his 34 deliveries.
Excellent start to the season, Chaps.
Yeah, for sure. Two not outs, a 28 and a 29.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he was really good. Unfortunately, we fell about 13 runs short. We had three overs to go. So
yeah,
if we had a couple of more in the shed, I reckon we would have got it done. But just unfortunate that we left ourselves a little bit too much of a mountain to climb after tea.
Ended up all out 119, fell about 13 runs short.
Yeah.
So encouraging signs, a close finish.
Yeah.
1-1 from the fours.
Yep, 1-1.
So plenty to work with.
Yeah, it puts us about mid-table, so that's good. And then next week, playing Endeavour Hills in the Chapel Wirrakoon Shield. First time we're playing that at Scammell Reserve, I believe, since its inception. And we haven't won it. So hopefully this will be the first time we get to take that home.
It is definitely worth briefly, Trent, do you want to summarise what that shield is about?
Yeah, of course. For those who aren't aware, Bihan Wirrakoon had an incident at a game 3 seasons ago where he had suffered a heart attack during the game. Obviously a great deal of shock for all of those involved because he's a ripping fellow. Ryan Chappell from Oakley was able to revive him and keep him alive until the paramedics arrived. They certainly expressed that Ryan was able to save his life. So there's been a really strong relationship built between the two clubs since then. Great deal of respect that they go through. An incredible thing to go through, and also important to note too that he used the defibrillator that was on site. So just shows that it's really important. So anyone out there listening, if you're involved in any other clubs or anything, make sure that you've got a working defibrillator, because literally it could save someone's life.
Mm. And now they've named the shield after the two of them, and they play for that every year when Oakley play Endeavour Hills. So again, well done, Chaps, and hopefully you boys can get the win this week and bring the shield back to Oakley.
Absolutely.
Now moving on to the 5th 11. Now the 5th 11 play on Sundays. They play in a different competition. They play in the Mercantile Comp. And they play only one-day games.
Only one-day games, yes, 45 overs aside.
So they're actually 4 rounds in already, but round one was abandoned because of the weather. Round two, they actually did get on for a while but didn't finish the match. But worth mentioning a couple of performances from that game. We bowled first and were chasing 206. A twofer to Harry Cashman. And Carlos, the captain, also took twofer. And then we got about halfway through the chase, and we're looking really good. And House was 26 not out, and
Carter Bilborough on debut for the club down from Queensland this year.
Yes, Carter
was on 61. Now the fun story about Carter there too was he wasn't going to be available to play on the Sunday because he ran the Melbourne Half Marathon that morning.
Oh, did he?
So
really?
He came straight from, I think, did he break 2 hours for the for the half marathon? It was either that or very close to it.
Jeez, he's done well.
And then he came out and ran the house down in the field, and then ended up with a 61 not from 25 overs. So yeah, terrific debut for Carts.
Well done, very well done. So Oakley finished 227 before the rain came. Wasn't enough overs bowled to constitute a match. The match was declared a draw. Round three, the Oaks again played about an hour of cricket this day and then got washed out again. Had Monash University 2 for 48. Not a lot to go into there. But finally, this past weekend, they got a full game in and they had a win. They played against Heatherton, bowled first, bowled Heatherton out for 119. Notable performance there. The skipper, the three skipper, Ant Howes, 4 for 11 off 7 overs. Fateh Singh, 2 for 23 off 9. Well bowled.
Dean Weir Johnson with 2 for 9 also.
Excellent.
Also worth noting there too, Cam Decudo and Josh Kerr, two of our juniors, under 15 players.
Nice.
Playing in their very first steps into senior cricket, both took wickets as well too and were very impressive and mostly enthusiastic.
Excellent. Well done to those guys. And then, yeah, chasing 119, did it comfortably. Chased them down, 1 for 122. Carlos, 35, not out. Carlos, yeah. 56. Carter, 35, not out. And another 29 out from Rayan.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Carlos made that 56 with the first 60 runs of the chase.
Did he really?
Yeah, apparently went ballistic. And
56 off 53 and with 5 fours?
Yeah, exactly. And basically put us in a really good box seat with the first wicket. And Rayan and Carter steered us home from there.
Good knock from the skipper. And Oakley get a win. So well done to the fives who are... What, one win, three draws?
Yes.
From their opening four games.
Yep.
So that concludes our senior team summary. Now we're briefly going to touch on our junior teams, and I'll throw it over to you, Trent.
We'll have a quick look at the vets too. We'll just go through the results there. So just quickly too, had a bit of a frantic call from Phil Di Rosario.
Are you playing?
Harry D's dad. Am I playing?
Yeah.
No, I've retired. I'm a professional podcaster now.
and chairman of selectors.
Phil contacted me and said, look, he's got plays in a vets comp, an over 40s comp. It's Salesian. They don't have access to a ground. Does Oakley possibly have one they can use? And I said, if you're willing to take the Oakley Cricket Club name and swear an oath to the purple and gold until the day you die, you may use the great surface at the home of cricket, DW Nickel Reserve at Warrawee Park, to which they jumped on board very quickly. We were able to assimilate a couple of Oakley people into the team straight away. And also there were a number of Oaks playing for them as well too. So Phil, who's Harry's dad, Peter Lombardo, who was our club umpire last year, and Darren Junkier, who's a premiership player at Oakley from the 2008-09 third 11 team. They started the season off. They played 35 over games on a Sunday. They can play 13 a side. So if anyone's interested, you don't even have to field. You can just go out there and have a hit if you like.
Is there an age rule?
It's over 40, but if you're near enough to it, they can provide permits for that as well too. It's about obviously participation and people having a go. Mm-hmm. Worthwhile calling out too, we also have a 74-year-old on our team who's the most sprightly 74-year-old you'd ever see. He's absolutely got me covered.
Probably we played
South Camberwell, STC South Camberwell in the first game, and were victorious, chasing down their 213 in the last over, which was tremendous. Had a couple of guys make retirements on 40, which was great. Then in the second game, we also chased down a win against Mount Waverley Uniting. And the game was ended up being won by Niraj Koshar, Rayan's dad, who hit two sixes to finish the game off with us.
High scoring games for 35 overs as well.
Absolutely. I think,
They're shorter boundaries as well, aren't they?
Shorter boundaries. Well, until they come and play out here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But they played on two very small grounds, those two. I suspect they'll... struggle to reach the boundary as easily when they come out.
I was going
to
say long chase for a few of them out here.
Yeah, they might just give up. They might take drinks.
Plenty of threes.
But absolutely, absolutely fantastic to have a vets team on board from our famous season in the 63-64 year when we won five premierships. One of those was an over 35s team. So nice to have that going again.
Welcome to the vets. Good to have you on board. Okay, now on to our junior summary. Trent Shields takes away.
Perfect, thank you. Look, juniors are the lifeblood of the club. Extremely important. So many of our players have come up through the grades there and too, including both of these two gentlemen beside me.
Absolutely.
So our teams are named after notable figures within the club. So this year we've got an under 11 Carlos, Wakefield team. They've been competitive. They've played against strong Mount Waverley and East Malvern teams so far, who got the better of us. The other under 11 team, named after our El Presidente Peter Webb, have got a 2-1 record from their three games so far. Charlie, Viom, Henry, Rafferty have all been in the runs, with Theodore and Dion taking wickets. The under 13 Pattinson team, you might have remembered him from the 21 test that he played for Australia. They've got a 1-2 record so far. Eliah R and Patrick have made runs, and Yeshan and Elijah K have taken wickets.
Well done.
The under 15 Harford team, which play on the Friday night, are 1-1. Sebastian and Henry have taken some wickets, while Joel and Jashin have made some good scores with the bat. And the final under 15 team, the Pearson team, we've got Cooper, Ashen and Finley in the runs, with Harry Cashman taking a stunning 5-4 versus Endeavour Hills gold.
Very nice,
week,
Harry.
With a 2-0 record.
Well done.
And then getting to our first junior girls team, the under 12 Alanas. They lost round one, then had a resounding win in game two, with Liesl and Mayasha amongst the wickets early, and Eva making some runs.
Yeah, awesome. So we might touch on that briefly. So this is the first time we've had a girls team at Oakley?
Girls juniors team, yes.
Girls
yes,
juniors team?
We used to have senior teams.
Right. So we got the under 12 girls. Their team is named the Alanas, after Alana King, Australian Test cricketer, who also plays for the Perth Scorchers and played her junior cricket here at Oakley. So shout out to you, Alana, and the King family, a big family around Oakley for many, many years. And we're probably going to touch on this in episode two a little bit more, but the Alana's team went down to the Junction on the weekend to watch Alana King play for the Perth Scorchers, play a 100th WBBL match against the Melbourne Stars. They were all in their Oakley CC yellow tops, like the one I'm wearing here, and had some really awesome chants and songs that they made up for Alana. And then you'll see the footage on the Oakley social media, Instagram, Facebook, of Alana King's interview after the game. Unfortunately, the Perth Scorchers just didn't get up. Alana actually almost got them over the line. They were chasing and they fell probably 5 or 6 runs short, I think.
Yeah,
and
chasing 154.
20
for that.
Yeah, 20 not out.
Yeah, 21 off her 15 balls, not out. And she also took 1 for 23 off her 4 overs for the game.
Yeah, so anyone who doesn't know, Alana, leg spin specialist, also bats lower down the order. But yes, interviewed from Fox Sports. You'll see that on our socials with our under-12s Alana's girl in the background. And we also want to give a shout out to Hish Fernando, who's coaching the team and who got it up, who has a daughter playing in that team. Hish was actually my under-13s coach here at Oakley. So 17, 18 years ago, still around the club. It's great to have him here. Well done, Hish, and well done the Alanas.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right. So next up, every week on this podcast, we're going to try and have some different co-hosts, and each co-host is going to bring their own segment to the pod. So this week we have Trent Shields with his segment. I'll let you introduce the segment.
Thank you, Miles. And again, I'm looking for a sponsor for this segment too. So please,
get on.
Please, yeah,
get around him.
My details will be on the bottom of the video. Now, I'm a person who likes lists, so I've decided to do a top 5 list, and it will have a theme. I was going to have a Halloween theme and maybe do our top 5 horror losses from history, but based on the results of the first couple of weeks, I think I might leave that for some lighter times.
Horror ties.
So instead, I've gone with a top 5 first-class cricketers to have played for the Oakley Cricket Club.
Oh, very nice.
These are in no order, because I'm not willing to rank all of these great people. So we're going to start off with Lindsay Klein, who played 13 tests for Australia, taking 34 wickets with a best bowling of 7 for 74. For anyone who knows their history, he hit the final ball of the famous tied test in 1960-61. Which his partner Ian Metcalfe was run out at the striker's end. For the Oakleigh Cricket Club, he played 53 games, made a handy 586 runs at 17.2, but he took an incredible 223 wickets in those games at 10.5 with 15 five-wicket hauls and a best bowling of 7 for 19. One very quick story about him, which is one of my favourites from the club. In the 1963-64 Grand Final versus Brighton at Williamstown, which was Oakleigh's first ever Grand Final in the first 11, he forgot his boots. Now, back in those days, it was a little bit different because you had to catch a ferry to Williamstown. So he had to catch the ferry back to the mainland.
Imagine dragging your kid on the ferry.
Drive to Burwood and get back in time. And he bowled us to victory. So all's well that ends well.
How awkward would that be coming home after, you know, a bit of controversy on in the game and having to come home on the same ferry?
Yeah, that's true. Was he a superstitious man, do you know? I wonder if he had to repeat that same preparation every game after that.
I don't believe so. And I'm pretty sure that that Val Holton, the great Val Holton, told that story too. And I suggest that he would have made sure that that wouldn't have happened again. Funnily enough, too, that story was almost repeated by our very own Satvik Verma a couple of years ago in a final against Williamstown where he forgot his boots.
Hello, Satty.
Fortunately, I had a couple of spare pairs that he was able to field in on that day. Number two on our list here is Amal Silva, a Sri Lankan national player who was good enough to make an undefeated century at Lords versus England and a test high score of 111 versus India in Colombo in a rare test win for Sri Lanka in those days, where he batted for an incredible 492 minutes. He also made a couple of 50s and against Australia in the 84-85 tri-series, Benson and Hedges tri-series, and an 85 against the West Indies featuring Joel Garner, Malcolm Marshall and Courtney Walsh. For Oakleigh, played one season, 13 games, cracked the magical 500 run mark and averages 50 in perpetuity. He made three half centuries and a magnificent 147 not out. Coming in next, we've got Alana King, who we mentioned earlier, who has played two tests for Australia with best figures of 2 for 39 and 21 with the bat. 26 one-day international wickets and 21 T20 wickets. She's also played, as Miles mentioned, 100 WBBL games and played a starring role in the Perth title run. Has a strong family connection at Oakleigh with her brother Mark playing 136 games for the club and Sharon and Leroy, her parents' favourites of all and sundry. She played 63 games at Oakleigh across under 11, 13, 15 and 17 level.
Played
with Miles, just shy of 700 runs at an average of 22, took 42 wickets at 12 with the best bowling of 3 for 1. She played in an under 15 premiership in 2010-11 and an under 17 premiership in 2011-12.
How many stumpings off her, Miles?
Well, I'm trying to think if I was keeping in those days. I might have not been. She also might have been bowling mediums at that stage. This was under 11s or under 13s, but I still use it as a claim to fame.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, certainly in the under 15 and 17s, she'd switched to leggies by then. And quite a lot of bowls, I recall, from the games that I watched. Coming in at number four, Graham Vimpany, who spent 3 years as captain coach, bringing to the club a new level of professionalism and beginning our run of Ken Fuster Club Championships as he introduced a whole-of-club attitude. He played some of the most brutal innings remembered at our famous ground, including a semi-final 90 not out in quick time against one of our favourite rivals, Williamstown. He enjoyed a second stint at the club where he collected another two premiership, first 11 premiership medals. But one story always amused me from that time as well too, playing against Elsternwick in his comeback game. They were wondering who the old bloke was and giving him some pointed advice. After plundering a century, the Wickers shared some YouTube footage of a belligerent century against the likes of Ian Bishop and Courtney Walsh for Victoria and were feeling a lot better about the fact that they got touched up all over the ground the week before.
Yeah, I think we've all seen that video.
He played 51 games for Oakleigh with a touch under 2,000 runs, averaging 49 with four centuries, and he made another 1,600 runs for Victoria with three centuries in 30 games. And last but not least is
Note on Vimpers. Fun fact is, he is the reason that I am at the club. He met my dad on a work program of some kind, just by chance. And that year, Dad said, "Do you want to play cricket?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, great. I know this guy, Graham. I think he plays for Oakleigh. Let's go down to Oakleigh." And I met Vimpers as a 10-year-old, 9-year-old. and started playing here and have been here ever since.
Brilliant. That's amazing. He's got a fantastic legacy at the club too, Vimps. He also introduced Dean Phelan, who's a 21-year major sponsor with Mortgage Choice, to the club. And last but not least, in fifth position in our first-class cricketers who have played at Oakley, James Pattinson, who obviously we outlined earlier, made a debut century.
Scored at least 100 for the club.
He and one duck. Has played 21 tests for Australia, took 81 wickets at 26, which is incredibly good. Took his best bowling was 5 for 27 on debut against New Zealand, and he took three other five-wicket hauls. Also making 400 runs with a top score of 47 not out. So, yeah, incredibly happy and pleased to have James playing with us this year. I know all the boys who have played with him so far have been thrilled by the generosity that he's passed on, his knowledge of the game and some recommendations and tips. And yeah, he's just been terrific. A lot of guys are very excited to play with him as well too. So, yeah, look. Absolutely. Welcome him with open arms, and hope you enjoy being a part of a club with such rich history too, Paddo.
And a long and successful career at the Oaks ahead, we hope. Well, that just about wraps up the first episode of the Mighty Oaks podcast. But before we go, we actually have announced our first social event. Our second. We've had the golf day, but our first major social event in season, what has become tradition, the OCC Beer Pong Night.
Yeah, and karaoke.
The details are on our Facebook page and our Instagram, and we'll go into it a little bit in further episodes. But November 18th from 8 p.m. here in the Warrawee Club rooms, we've got a $30 early bird price, or $40 on the night. Usually we do teams of two for the beer pong. We have a big tournament and, of course, sing some karaoke. So it's always a really fun night. Anything you wanted to add on that, Matt?
No, it was, we had our first one last year, really good. And it's not just limited to the players. Anyone can get down and register. So it'd be great to see as many of the Oakley community down here as possible. Find a team of two and hopefully take it out. I think it was Jock and JR who took it out last year.
That's right.
Yeah, as golfer and caddy
He'll struggle to defend his title though, poor Jock.
Yeah, well, left-handed, you never know. Yeah.
Someone on this table might be a former champion of the beer pong tournament as well.
Is that?
I stick to the karaoke normally.
Yeah, that is good fun. Shout out Ant House, champions beer pong. Anyway, thank you guys. That brings us to the end of episode one.
Can I just make one last thing? And sorry to finish on a somber note. Would just like to acknowledge Dennis Grace, who's a former coach of the club and father of David, who played with the club as well too, passed away earlier today. So condolences and love to his family. Dennis was a great man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Trent. And thank you for watching or listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode one. We'll be back for episode two in a few weeks. Thank you very much. Go the Oaks, and go the Mighty Oaks podcast.